absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show number 124 of Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast where we discuss all things intercultural. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from Denmark. I suppose you could say that this is a listener's show, because our two main guests today contacted us through the blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. Do you remember the German perspective on South Korea in Laurent's last show? Well, we were contacted by Carol, a Chinese exchange student, and she gives her perspectives on what it's like doing a year at a Korean university. It's very different from what you heard in the last show, and as you'll hear, we also had a couple of intercultural misunderstandings. I also spoke about the concept of time in Africa with Samuel Osamba, who left a comment on our blog. And I have a couple of other surprises in the show. We'll start with the first surprise, which is a guessing game in the segment Absolutely Urban. Recently, I came across an intriguing project called Sound Cities. The project started in the 90s when an anonymous British artist known as Stanza started making sound recordings in cities all over the world. You can now go to the Sound Cities website and choose a city or a mood and hear the sounds associated with it. Of course, I went straight to the collection for Aarhus, which is my nearest big city, and among other things, found the familiar sound that the pedestrian crossing plays when it's safe to cross the road. The project isn't over yet, so if you fancy going out and making some recordings, then Stanza would love you to upload them to the website to add to the database. So what sounds would you record for your city? Well, before you decide, I'd like you to sit back and relax for 3 minutes while I play you a medley of sounds from a well-known city. The question is, can you guess which one?
Thank you.
So where did those sounds come from? I'll be kind and accept answers from the right country if you can't manage the right city. If I remember to do it, I'll let you know before the end of the show. Otherwise, I recommend you go to soundcities.com and play around with the map and the sounds that you can find there. I also recommend the Sound Maps Mixer page, where you can create your own cacophony using the mixer on the page. You'll find the links on our blog at absolutely-intercultural.com. Well, I was delighted when Carol from China contacted us, saying she'd be willing to talk to us about her experience as an exchange student in Korea. Carol studies Korean and English at Nanjing Normal University in Jiangsu Province in China. She arrived in Korea in August, and we talked about various things, including food. So this is the Absolutely Delicious segment. But first, I couldn't resist asking her how she had heard about our podcast.
Actually, I hear about this podcast from my English teacher. Actually, I am from Nanjing, Jiangsu Province, you know, and I went to my university, Nanjing Normal University, to study Korean. My major is Korean and English. Yeah.
So you are a language student.
Yeah. So, because my major is Korean, so I got the chance to study here as an exchange student to Korea. Yeah. I came here by myself, but I just live in our dorm with my classmates.
Okay. These are Korean classmates.
No, just my classmate from my university. She is also a Chinese. We have a international dormitory. Our exchange students all live in the dormitory. And what's interesting, we Chinese cook in our dorm. Only we two cook in our dorm.
Oh, so what do the others do? They go out and buy?
They just go out and buy, and actually, we do not used to eat Korean food. It's, you know, it's a little bit sweet and spicy. I think just eat for 1 or 2 days, that's big, okay. But if you ask me to eat one semester or 1 year, I think, no, I want to cook myself, yeah. actually, because Korea is a mountainous country, and the fruit here is not varied as in China. And because there is few fruit, price will go up. And especially watermelon here. Actually, I told my Korean friends the watermelon in China is not as expensive as in Korean. It just are not. They are very surprised to hear that. Actually, the watermelon can reaches $40 to $50 will be. Probably in China, if we buy a watermelon, we just pay not more than $1 or $2. They are very surprised to hear that. After hearing that, they all said, we want to go China.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we don't grow watermelons here in Denmark either, but we don't pay $30 or $40 or $50, I can tell you.
Yeah.
I think it's more like $3 or $4.
We'll be hearing more from Carol later on in the show. Samuel Osamba has been living in the US for 20 years, but is originally from Kenya, to which he returns on project work several times a year. He tried to leave a comment on the blog after our piece on the Intercultural Business webinar in October, but there was a technical glitch. That's now solved, so thank you, Samuel, for letting us know about that. But also, I was curious to find out more, so I arranged to ring Samuel to see if he had another perspective on the issue of timekeeping in our segment, Absolutely on Time.
I didn't see a lot of contribution in the blog about Africa. And I thought, I was doing reflection and thinking, well, how is my African background or culture may be affected or may affect what type of, when I'm having communication or when I'm conducting business in other parts of the world. And the first thing that came in my mind is time, because before, you know, we were colonized, or before we, and I mean Africans, had contact with Western education, we didn't have anything like time, a clock. We didn't have that. Our concept of time was totally different. We looked at time in terms of the sun. The positioning of the sun told us what time it was, or when moon was coming, it told us what we needed to do with our crops, you know, because we did not have the technology to do things like irrigation. Therefore, we used science, environmental science, or physical science, to tell us, well, maybe the rains are just about to come, and so we need to grow. Now, why am I giving that example in relation to the discussion you are having in your blog? It's relevant because up to this time, when we have, most of us in Africa have already received Western culture, with Western education. In fact, some of us have even received it in the Western world, like myself. But every so often, we find ourselves falling back to what we commonly or customarily did. For example, you know, lateness, coming late to a meeting or being a few minutes late and not think that it's a problem. So that's why I was making that reflection, because I've seen it happening. Like, for example, we have organizations here in the United States made of Africans. And this is some organization where we try to help people back in Africa, or just help newcomers in the United States with scholarships and things of that nature. But when we call our meetings, we don't keep time, and it's okay. So we even say that, well, let's just say the meeting will be at 6, because people will come at 7. So if you want the meeting to be at 6, at 7, we tell people the meeting will be at 6, because we know most people will be 40 or 1 hour late. So it's like something that we've accepted. Even us living in the Western world, as long as we've lived in the Western world, with that concept of time still, it's just something that is still, we haven't fully, most of us have not fully gotten accustomed to doing things as far as where we are, which we live in the Western world, where time is money and people need to keep time. But when we are doing things that pertain to us as Africans, Kenyans, Ugandans, or what have you, we fall back to what we customarily do in our mother countries. So I just thought that if someone were to go to, say, these parts of the world in Africa to do business, they are somehow supposed to know that. They're somehow supposed to have a background of what I'm talking about, because that may just well help them go about their business in terms of communicating with people, securing business deals, or things of that nature.
Samuel, you're quite right that Africa doesn't feature often enough in our podcast. So if there's anybody out there from Africa who has some interesting stories to tell, then please do get in touch. I'm not sure that we've had recorded critical incidents on this show before, but I managed it as I spoke to Carol from China about her year abroad in Korea. Listen as I get it completely wrong, not just once, but twice in the space of 5 minutes, in Absolutely Critical.
compared to China, I think compared with my university, the education, I think the education system here is better.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
I think after I came here, I know, there is true that not every student need to study Marxism. You know Marxism?
Marxism.
Yeah, Marxism. In China, in our university, at least every student must study the Marxism. But after I came here, I know, not every student need to study this. And when I was a freshman in my university, we need to spend many time on this.
Mm.
And after I came to Korea, I found that not every student need to study that. We just can choose by our own. If you like to choose some courses, we can choose. In my university, all the courses will be arranged by school. Yeah. So
yeah.
I think the education system here is better. I think. Yeah.
Actually, can I ask you a question, which I should have asked right from the very beginning? Are you in North Korea or South Korea?
South Korea, definitely.
Okay.
actually, when we came to know that we can have a chance to study abroad to Korean, our teacher told us that we can study in South Korea, and some students asked him, can we study in North Korea?
Mm-hmm.
He asked us, do you want to study in North Korea? And nobody wants to. Yeah, because actually we do not know quite many things about North Korea, but since everybody is afraid of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think many people in the world know very much about North Korea.
Yeah, I think if studying in North Korea is maybe a very scary thing.
Well, yeah, it might be. No, I just thought I'd better get that clear because we never talked about which Korea it was. I assumed you were in South Korea, but then I began to wonder.
So where did the urban soundscape come from earlier in the show? I wonder if you guessed Asia. I wonder if you guessed South Korea. The sounds, in fact, came from Seoul. I thought that would be the most appropriate to play for our conversation with Carol. For our last segment, I decided to play you one of the shorter sessions from TED.com. If you don't know the TED Talks, then I strongly recommend that you go over to TED.com and choose one or two from the amazing selection of recorded talks by some amazing people. The TED Talks are even starting to have their own superstars, such as Sir Kenneth Robinson and Professor Sugata Mitra, who both talk about education, or Hans Roslin, who makes statistics come alive, or Jill Bolt Taylor giving a minute-by-minute account of a massive stroke she had. The TED slogan is, "Ideas worth spreading," and I think they're addictive, so watch out. The one I'm going to share with you today is by Derek Sivers, entitled "Weird or Just Different," which is about how what you think may be true may not be true, or absolutely back to front.
So imagine you're standing on a street anywhere in America, and a Japanese man comes up to you and says, "Excuse me, what is the name of this block?" And you say, "I'm sorry, well, this is Oak Street, that's Elm Street. This is 26th, that's 27th. He says, okay, but what is the name of that block? You say, well, blocks don't have names. Streets have names. Blocks are just the unnamed spaces in between streets. He leaves a little confused and disappointed. So now imagine you're standing on a street anywhere in Japan. You turn to a person next to you and say, excuse me, what is the name of this street? And they say, oh, well, that's block 17 and this is block 16. And you say, okay, but what is the name of this street? And they say, well, streets don't have names. Blocks have names. Just look at Google Maps here. There's block 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. All of these blocks have names, and the streets are just the unnamed spaces in between the blocks. And you say, okay, then how do you know your home address? I said, well, easy. This is District 8. There's block 17, house number 1. I say, okay, but walking around the neighborhood, I noticed that the house numbers don't go in order. He said, of course they do. They go in the order in which they were built. The first house ever built on a block is house number 1. The second house ever built is house number 2. Third is house number 3. It's easy. It's obvious. So I love that sometimes we need to go to the opposite side of the world to realize assumptions we didn't even know we had and realize that the opposite of them may also be true. So, for example, there are doctors in China who believe that it's their job to keep you healthy. So any month you are healthy, you pay them. And when you're sick, you don't have to pay them because they failed at their job. They get rich when you're healthy, not sick. In most music, we think of the one as the downbeat, the beginning of the musical phrase. One, two, three, four. But in West African music, the one is thought of as the end of the phrase, like the period at the end of a sentence. So you can hear it not just in the phrasing, but the way they count off their music. Two, three, four, one. And this map is also accurate. There's a saying that whatever true thing you can say about India, the opposite is also true. So let's never forget, whether at TED or anywhere else, that whatever brilliant ideas you have or hear, that the opposite may also be true. Domo arigato gozaimashita.
One of our very first podcasts featured South African Mark Anderson, who went to South Korea and specifically mentioned this problem that the streets have no names. So now, 4 years later, problem solved. The next show will be coming to you from Germany with Laurent Borgmann on December the 24th. But for me, this is my last podcast of 2010. So I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's participated, whether by comments, emails, or interviews. We couldn't do it without you, so thank you very much. It's been great talking with you, and I hope to meet many more of you in 2011.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.